We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. 855-839-1210. Love to get you on board. Got a great side question today, too. What is it that is close to perfection, or perfection in your view, that you fool around with it a little bit here and there, and you're afraid you're going to mess the whole thing up? This coming off all this stuff with the Fanatic over the weekend, okay? Yeah, you know, that anytime you change something, there is that risk. And some things are so good, work so much. Wow. The Nevada Caucus look like they're finally done, and Bernie ended up with 47.5% of the vote. I don't know if that's the final official. I think it is. That's pretty good. If he beats Biden in South Carolina, or even close, Biden will hang in to Super Tuesday. I don't know about Warren, though. I think she's on the ropes. And this could be Bloomberg tomorrow night. Is really on the ropes. Right out of the box, she's going to go after him again. All right, census coming up, the 2020 census. And I don't remember answering this, and Dan, you have a new household, so this will be the first time you're answering it, so we'll ask it. It's a question spouses, domestic partners, and roommates are going to, roommates too, to confront in the next few weeks to fill out their 2020 census form. Who is the primary person in the household? Everyone who lives in the house has to be identified on this form by how they're related to so-called person one. It's a question that even the most egalitarian homes are going to have to figure out, though it's sure to spark some intriguing conversations. They mentioned for married couple, Debbie Kleinberg and Frankie Huff, it's a no-brainer. Me, because anytime Frankie has anything that comes up, he defers to me. Huh. She says the notice will come in the mail. It'll sit on the kitchen table for a couple days. It may even get lost. We'll find it later, but she'll eventually fill it out. We don't want anyone knocking on our door saying, where is that census? So she's going to put down she's person one. Now, here's the politically correct stuff, Dan. This is now you put down P1. Until 40 years ago, person one was called head of household or head of family, which is even more direct. Now it's called P1, person one. The most recent American Community Survey offers a sneak peek of how the genders may break down in the 2020 census, and it divides fairly evenly. In 2018, there were a total of 79 million households with families. In 41 million of the homes, the householder or head of household was a man. And in 38 million, the householder was a woman. Now, you know, this could be single moms. It could be any reason for that. That's pretty close, though. There are other options. They've added categories like opposite sex unmarried partner, same sex husband, wife, spouse, same sex unmarried partner. God. The change after the 2010 census, when the form only had husband and wife or unmarried partners to describe romantic attachments. So I'd love to hear from people out there. What are you going to put on yours? That's pretty close. 41 million identified as male head of household, 38 million as a preview, 79 million homes. They identified as female. All right, Dan, what have you guys? Have you decided, or if that comes, what will you do?
Oh, it's 100% Maisie.
And is it based on income?
For us, yes, completely. She makes probably double of what I do. So she gets first say for all things around the household. I'm more than happy to abide.
Okay, so that's fine then that she would put that down. She wouldn't defer to you and say, no, Dan, you put it down.
I wouldn't expect her to defer to me.
You would reject it. You're not going to run.
No, I wouldn't reject it. I mean, it would be a nice thought if she would ask me, you know, just to consider with me, and I'm sure she would.
Now, Roe,
I wouldn't be offended if she just
Roe has a different tactic, all right? So I have the upper hand on the financial side. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to the house, that's her purview. You know, we don't move. And I painted something there yesterday under strict guidance. So, you know, this is going to be a coin flip. When it really comes to the house and the configuration and all, I mean, I have to fight just to have that Barco lounger there. The Barco lounger, you know, has a tendency where I have it. You push back in a chair when you get into it. If I push back 6 inches, it brushes against the wall. Mm-hmm. Over time, it takes away the paint a little bit. Barely distinguishable. But we had somebody coming over. I had to repaint that whole section. In order to not hear about the Barco lounger.
Say your furnace explodes.
Yes.
Who's the one that arranges for it to get fixed?
I do.
Okay. Because I do the same thing, but I'm more than happy to defer as the head of the household.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Might have to have a showdown on this one. I kind of like the P1 design. Now, Joe, in your situation, you are the P1.
I was going to say, the joy of living alone is I'm the king of my castle.
defer
it's
nice
to nobody.
Well, have a queen there occasionally. We'll get to the date a little bit. Well, let's get to the date now. We'll go inside the vortex a little bit later on. So, double vortex this hour.
Oh, well.
So you were going to go and see this woman who you met at karaoke. You both shared the same song, and you did it on Friday. And you were going to take a
Take it easy, Dom. That's not getting graphic.
Right. You took a wingman, even though it was completely absurd and unnecessary to do this, to see her sing. So what happened?
Let's just say it was an interesting weekend, because I heard her sing, and I couldn't ask her. I couldn't bring myself to ask for a number, so I gave her my business card. I thought it was classy. I said,
does it say Dom Giordano Show on it?
No, it doesn't. No, it has my name in cursive. It's very classy, you know. But
wait a minute. Why doesn't it say the Dom Giordano Show on it?
I don't know. I didn't get them since I started working on the show. Oh,
there you
come
go.
On.
But
that's premature.
Wait a minute. And you
premature,
said it's
premature, my friend.
And it's in cursive.
Yeah, well,
that's got to be impressive, because your generation is the printing generation, the non-cursive generation.
Who goes on a date instead of asking for the girl's number, he gives a business card?
Yeah, like my wingman will be calling you to arrange a date in the future.
I didn't ask for this.
He's my wingman and my secretary. But Sunday, I got, after a good long cry on Saturday, Sunday, I got a...
Wait. You can't gloss past that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's emotionally wrenching when you... Basically. So, on Sunday, I decided, I need to put myself back out there. So, I got an invitation to go speed dating. So
I
had some fun speed dating. Now, the women were only a little older. It was like, I think, 32 to 47, something like that.
Only a little bit older, right? You're again how old for listeners?
24.
24 and they're 47.
They were a little young
yes.
for my taste, quite honestly.
There
and
you
then,
know.
But then after that, I went back to karaoke and I met another lovely young lady and I got her number and I'm going to give her a call after work today.
Get her number or her business card?
No, her number. I got the number.
You sure it was a number she didn't make up? Yes.
No. Bradley asked me, what number should give you? 555-5555?
Seinfeld, yes.
So let's see what happens there. Hopefully.
I come and sit down across from you at a table during speed dating. What's the first thing that you say?
It depends on the person.
Do you make like a corny icebreaker, or do you?
You start singing?
No, I just start talking. You know, I try and find something. I picture myself behind the desk of The Tonight Show, and I'm...
There we go.
So he's doing an interview. Okay.
I open up the way every talk show host opens interview now. So what do you think of this Donald Trump guy, huh?
So he's revealing to the audience for the first time that he's gone speed dating, but this is something he does pretty often, right?
Not often. Well, okay, maybe often, but...
I know the show for Joe, the... The Impractical Jokers.
What?
Yes, you'd be great as an actor. And I'm serious. You would be able to pull that off really well.
Well, Dom, I'm flattered. What can I say?
You'd be great.
The pinnacle of show business,
Well, no, it's not necessary. They got a feature film coming out. Yes.
Do you study speed dating strategies?
No, I just try and be myself.
Okay.
All right.
Which probably explains why I haven't had a relationship out of speed dating.
Well, right. But I'm still back on the business card with the cursive. I got to see that. Okay.
Well, it was awkward because she was sitting there with another guy. Right. I didn't know who the guy was. Could have been her boyfriend, her manager, her bodyguard. It could have been anybody.
You don't know whether or not she had a boyfriend?
I don't know because I didn't get to ask.
There's all kinds of ways of doing that. People will tell you on Twitter how to solve that. At Dom Show 1210. All right. We'll get Joe's
close.
What you should not mess around with a little bit later on this hour, 855-839-1210. Who is the head of household in your house? Is it clearly distinguished? Do you defer? The census thing, it just jumped out at me. Who's number one? Whoever gets to fill out the census form first, whoever wants to do it, is that P1? Now, you don't want them knocking on your door. That's what this one family said. You want to be left alone, so you fill it out so they don't come back for a follow-up with this stuff. That's what people, I think, are most afraid of. I don't know how much lying goes on this. Okay, AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just pushed pound 1210, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Now, Dan, this story over the weekend is maybe one of the reasons why we watch sports. I know I got bogged down to say, doesn't the National Hockey League have a roster? So a guy is a former goaltender, kidney transplant guy, right? He operates the Zamboni machine that smooths out the ice.
Yeah, worker.
Yeah, I think the Flyers were the first one that had that or popularized it. Two goalies get hurt either in the same game or one's hurt in the same game.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently in the NHL, they don't have like an emergency goalie on the team per se. They pluck him from the Zamboni machine and tag him in to be a goalie. He stops some shots and ends up winning the game.
Yeah, so in the NHL, it's a weird thing that they have where the rosters usually only keep two, maybe three goalies on the roster, but it's only required you keep two.
Right.
So it's become a common thing for each NFL team to have locals who are prepared to step in if an emergency happens, as in both the team's goalies go out. So Toronto, this guy works for the Marlies. It's the minor league team for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right.
And he's a maintenance worker, as you said, a Zamboni worker, and was sitting in the stands during the game and got the call that he needed to step up for the opposing team. Big Maple Leafs fan, had to step up for the Hurricanes, and both teams were battling it out for a spot
playoff,
in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
So he steps in, and the first two shots shot right at him go in. The Carolina Hurricanes start, kind of getting a little bit worried. During halftime, the players say to him, after the second period, players say to him, hey, dude, you got to do this. The guy replies, get me one more goal, I'll get you the win. It turns out that the rest of the game, seven shots were levied his way, none went in the net, had a shutout the third period.
Wow.
I think it was Keith Jones on WIP's Angelo Cataldi show this morning, said it's like a Rudy movie on steroids.
Exactly. Is that why we watch sports? Is this one of the major reasons? It's not just the score, the winning and losing. It's the human drama, things like this. This was the Zamboni machine, since we know it here. That's what jumped out at me. All right, phone lines. By the way, in March, we're going to do, each month we do for the side question of the day, we take 2 days aside, and we have like a field of 64. And for this, it's going to be sports films, the all-time best sports film. I have two in mind that I think are, but that'll be in March. Right now, though, 855-839-1210. I'd love to hear from women on this. Would you put down, and why can't you say head of household? Why does it have to be P1? In other words, if it's a woman that's a head of the household, it's a woman that's a head of the household. Or what's the other phrase? It's either head of household or head of family. Well, they don't like the head of family. I guess that got changed in the Obama years. They don't like head of family. But a head of household, that's fine, right? That's better than P1 on the census. Would you put that down? How do you determine it in your family? We gave you Dan's. I gave you mine with Roe. How do you determine that? 855-839-1210. You get a line. Story today is Bernie Sanders. The story tomorrow after the next Democrat debate is going to be Bloomberg and whether or not Bloomberg can stay in. The only shot they have to stop Sanders now, and this will be the headline all this week, is they revitalize Joe Biden. That's not going to happen. If he gets by South Carolina, he's not getting by Super Tuesday. He's not going to do well on Super Tuesday. There's no there there. They're not going to stop him with Joe Biden. They realize now they probably can't stop him with Bloomberg. He may not get through this next debate. All right, what's strategy three then? The only thing they can do is to hope they stop Sanders from getting the required number of delegates. And then at the convention, they stop him. I'm praying for that one, because that would ignite stuff that would be very, very damaging, very, very difficult for Democrats. That's the best thing. In Milwaukee, they go to the second ballot. They tag somebody other than Sanders in. Tom Giordano Show. Welcome in, everyone. Good Monday, 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, just hit us with something you think is fine as it is. And fooling around with it, even if you think, oh, it'll be even better, it's like messing around with something that it's just too risky. This coming off what's had to happen with the Fanatic, I think they did a good job of minimizing the changes. And you can say, well, change is a fact of life and all that. Yeah, there's certain things that people like them just the way that they are. I mentioned the Second Amendment. Dan mentioned the McRib, other than having it on the daily menu.
I'm changing my official answer to a Wawa bread.
Wawa bread. Okay. The leader in the clubhouse, even though Civil War statues, beach tag, no beach tags, wow, but that's a real good one. The bikini is going to be hard to beat. Yeah, you can't be fooling around with it. That is it, right? Can you top that? There's no male version. I can't help it. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board.
Well, there is a male version.
Well, I'll give you one. I was going to wait for this. People know this would have tickled my fancy. The Electoral College. No. We're not going to fool around. The Electoral College is as perfect of an idea. I'm going to say here and now, the Electoral College was the best idea, arguably, of the Founding Fathers. It gives voice to the smaller states in proportion. It's beautiful. It's genius. Why don't Democrats want it? You know why? They want to overwhelm us like we saw in Nevada with people that are voting that may or may not be legal, with California and New York, and maybe one or two other states, and that'll be it. They'll dictate to us what everything is going to be in this country. Well, what about these other states? They're flyover country. They're red states. They don't matter. Well, how do they stay in the game? The Electoral College. That would get my vote. It's perfect the way that it is. And that's not just because Trump won with that. It's because the idea is perfect in order to be celebrated. Nope. Not going to do that. All right, let's go to Sam in Overbrook. Sam's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Sam, welcome in. What's yours? What do you think shouldn't change?
Well, Tom, first of all, I've been listening to you for a long time. I got to tell you that the team is like, you guys are really enjoyable to listen to. So,
thank you very much. It's very nice, Sam. Did you listen back at DB days or just over here?
Absolutely. Yep. I was back there in WWDB days. Yep. Dominic and everything. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Irv Homer and all. Yeah. That's, I wouldn't have changed that. That was greatness. But thank you, Sam. That's very nice.
Yeah. Okay. It's amazing how it's changed me. But when Chick-fil-A did what they did, it went from being the perfect place for me to go to. Great food, great sandwiches. I just loved their whole concept. I loved that they had the guts to speak what they felt.
Right.
And man, when they changed to getting rid of the Salvation Army and the I can't remember the other one. Man, I'm like you. I don't want to boycott nobody. I just have no desire to go in there anymore.
Hey, I admire that. But that's a perfect position. I don't want to every day wake up and look at my list. Who am I boycotting? But you know what? I admire that because what I liked about Chick-fil-A, not just the food, it was the politeness, they being off on
Absolutely.
Sunday. But somebody's got to shake them. They got to come back on the issue of the Salvation Army. That's one of the all-time best people in the world. You can't turn on them.
Yeah, and I like I said, I haven't told anybody in my family not to go there. I don't tell people not to go there. I drive by there. I just have an innate feeling of not wanting to go in there. I just do not want to go in there.
There's a good one.
Nomination.
Very good one. All right, we're going to match that up against the bikini. I mean, Chick-fil-A was perfect until they done that. Sam, too. I mean, he doesn't even feel like going in there anymore. I mean, how many people have kept that up? That's been a while, right? It's been 2-3 months. Maybe a lot of people have said, oh, God, you know, you can't fight every battle. I don't want to die on this hill. No, I admire that. That was just so out of character. That's the type of thing. Why change that? Well, you know why? We talked about why. They want to move ahead in certain locales, certain countries, and you have to be abandoning outfits like the Salvation Army to do that. Otherwise, you're going to be seen as homophobic, and they're not going to let you get a franchise there. Yeah, but what about the work the Salvation Army does? That's nuts. We went through all that. That's a really good one. Ah, boy, bikinis in being threatened here by some that I see on the board. That's going to be hard to beat. Let's go to Bill in South Jersey. Bill's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill, good morning.
That's cute, right?
Hey, Bill, you're on the air with Dom. Are you there, Bill? All right, I'll put Bill on hold. Let's get him ready to go, and we'll talk with him in a minute. 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. Bill had a good one, so I'll let him say it. I'm not going to spill that one. By the way, the guy that's often touted by those on the left and somewhat by a lot of people as the expert on polling and how elections are going to come out well in advance, Nate Silver, over the weekend wrote a big piece talking about, and here's something we haven't talked about, one of the reasons why President Trump won. He gives several. He says there is no evidence of any input that he can find versus all the polling, all the data points he has, that Russian interference had anything to do with this. This is their guy on the liberal side. He says no one stopped Hillary Clinton from going into Wisconsin. Another factor, Trump's ability to command the news cycle. You know what Trump was trying to do. This is the strategy. Win the day. Win the news cycle. Control the news cycle. Some of that through Twitter, some of it through any number of other things. In other words, he's looking short term to win that day. And he does it like nobody's ever done it. He also found that he says that the type of media, earned media it's called, is more valuable than the kind you buy, like Bloomberg. In other words, it's more organic. People see that it has more meaning. They can tune out an ad. But what they're seeing play out from all the media coverage, that means a lot. He mentioned Jim Comey and Clinton's private email server when Comey came out about that toward the end. That had an impact. And he also mentioned that we didn't calculate enough the size and enthusiasm of these rallies. I said that too. They were being dismissed as, yeah, those are big crowds consistently, but you know, other people have had crowds, nothing like this. We saw it in Wildwood. We've seen it again afterward. There is nothing like these kinds of crowds. Now, it's not all Trump, but he had 100,000 people yesterday in India. They're not voters, but Indian Americans here are, and they're seeing this stuff. So there is another indicator from Nate Silver over the weekend. What were some of the things that drove this in that last month? Not the Russians. The Russians are trying to do stuff. They're ineffectual, though. They're not good at it. It didn't matter there. And for the life of me, I just can't picture Hillary Clinton sitting around or telling her, go to Wisconsin. You know, you got to make a last ditch effort in Wisconsin, even for a day. Would that have been enough to win Wisconsin? Trump is doing very well in Wisconsin, beating Democrats in Wisconsin. I don't understand that. I thought that was a more liberal state, but he's doing exceptionally well. Bernie Sanders will do well in Michigan. So that brings us to Pennsylvania. What happens here? Well, you know the key, fracking. All right? And those forces are rising to send a message of how big of a deal fracking is, how many jobs, what it would mean to the economy in most of Pennsylvania. I don't think you're getting away with that. Bernie Sanders would not. He would lose Pennsylvania. He loses Florida because he can't give it up for continuing, even last night on 60 Minutes, to try to make some argument supporting Fidel Castro. That hurts you incredibly badly in Florida. All right, let me go to Charlie. He's in Morristown. He's with Dom here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Charlie, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Dom. How you doing?
Very well, Charlie.
The thing I don't want to change is the HR person at Fox News who hires all those beautiful young women.
They're called Fox's Foxes, yes.
That's it, Fox in those tight red dresses. Oh, they are so pretty.
Yeah, those multicolored dresses.
I'm 75, so I could say it.
Yeah,
you know,
well, and they don't have to be blondes. They're not all blondes anymore. Yes, it's all a good thing, yeah.
I know. These new girls show, one is more pretty than the other. So the HR guy, you know, he's my favorite.
All right. Roger Ailes is no longer there, but he lives on through that choice. Oh, come on. Now, wait a minute, Dan. That's not fair of him, right? Just look at the babes over on MSNBC. You start with Rachel Maddow. All right, there you go. Or on CNN. I'm trying to think on CNN. Not so much. You got Fredo. You got Don Lemon, et cetera. You don't see too many in prime. Then you got Martha McCollum on the other side.
I was having a conversation recently with a coworker about the amount of blondes on Fox News. And I'm not a huge fan.
Of blondes.
No, just of the amount of, you know, you can pretty much describe and paint a picture that would be describing five or six of them at a time.
Yeah, so you think they're too derivative. They're too
Yeah, and I just think the bleach blonde with the dark tan.
Right.
It's not as relatable as, I don't know, it comes across as almost shallow.
But I don't know that they want them to be relatable. There's a different vibe they're going there.
You think so?
Now, let's be fair. Kennedy does wear glasses, Dan.
And she doesn't have blonde hair.
No, she's not.
But she was stuck on Fox Business Network. She's not even on Fox
exactly.
Anymore.
Well, Banderas is the other, but she's not a prime player. You're right. Martha McCollum and all these others. All right. I'm putting them down for that, though. All right. These are excellent. Things that shouldn't change. They're almost perfect. And when there's that change, you notice it right away, and it's not good. You know, I remember when Gennardi's went from the family-owned business to a corporate, a guy calling me and saying, I was in the store. The roast beef isn't the same. It was like a day since the change. People notice this.
Yeah.
They want a kiss. It'd be like Tasty Cake. Suddenly, we're not going to give you what the Tasty Cake, we're changing it big time. People would revolt. All right, so something that you don't want changed. I got the Second Amendment. Dan, what's your official one here?
Wawa's bread.
Wawa's bread. We'll get Joe's a little bit later in the vortex here on the Dom Giordano program. You get in at 855-839-1210. Yeah, I like that setup. It's Dom time here. Is that a Greyhound thing? You were setting me up.
No, I'm just a big fan of the band.
I am too. But Greyhound under fire. Ride the hound, as Curtis Sliwa says. Now we're not going to allow ICE and the Border Patrol to be hanging around and looking for people that are here illegally without warrants. All right. We'll see how people feel about that. Does that make us safer? But Chris Matthews, pride of Hunting Park, Philadelphia. Subhost back in the day for Rush Limbaugh. Listen to Matthews, who is under fire. He's trending. There's a hashtag fire Chris Matthews or Chris Matthews resign. Is this that awful? What he? I know what the rub is, why it's being seen as awful. But here is Chris Matthews on Saturday as it became apparent. Now, we now know, at least I think it's official, the final tab is Bernie 47.5% in a pretty crowded field. That's a blowout in Nevada. Chris Matthews sees this essentially, I think, as the end of the Democrat Party, Listen to what Matthews likens this blowout win to that's causing quite a storm.
The only way Biden could win in that one-third of the vote that's either moderate or conservative is to sweep it. He got nowhere near. Bernie, on the other hand, did his job. He got more than a majority, more than a majority of that 67%. That is the name of the game. It is pretty much over unless that changes. I was reading last night, Brian, I know you're a history guy too. I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940, and the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. And Churchill said, how can it be? You got the greatest army in Europe. How can it be over? He said, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart. And I think he's damn right on this one.
All right, Dan, I forgot to ask you. I'm trying to get James Carville on. I'm doing a national show the next couple nights because I think it might be difficult. But you're good. You might be able to get him. The lure to get him on. I interviewed him once. Matthews, though, is under trouble here. Under fire because Bernie Sanders is Jewish. And that's what the spin is. They're going after him saying, how dare you compare this to anything Nazis? Well, he wasn't comparing Bernie Sanders necessarily to the Nazis there. But, you know, isn't this ironic that suddenly Sanders is seen as this invading army? If it were Trump, no one would say, hey, maybe we ought to be easy on the Nazi talk. You know, maybe Bernie Sanders taking over the Democrat Party at this point is not the same thing as the Nazis rolling into France. Maybe all this Nazi imagery is bad. Maybe you've gotten boxed in because you do it about Trump all the time. We probably know of 100 major examples of people talking about Trump as if he is a dictator and at worst Adolf Hitler, Stalin, something like that. Just wild stuff that the more you say it, it becomes casual. So Matthews, wanting to show he's a smart guy and well-read in history, stumbles into this one going after Bernie Sanders. And I haven't seen him apologize today, but you're seeing this all-out attack on Bernie Sanders. And I'm convinced the number one reason is this. Democrats know, the smarter ones, you're not going to win. You're just not going to win a general election yet if you're honest about what you want to do to the country. And I wanted to ask that today. That's the theme, isn't it? Isn't that the theme? Isn't that one of the biggest things of talk radio that we're bound together here? That even people that are liberal that listen, right? Unless they're wild-eyed progressives, but the people that are liberal that listen. They still don't want America to change in the way that Bernie Sanders blatantly is talking about. Now, you know, too, if that's what he's talking about, that he's willing to admit to, you know that every politician would always go further than what they're saying. So he would go a lot further than what he's saying. But by and large, he's putting his cards on the table. And Democrats know that when they put their cards on the table in this manner, you're not going to win. Their judgment is that America is not ready for this yet, particularly going against somebody like Trump, who's what has been his whole focus, America first, American institutions, American worker, American economy, not the globalism stuff. You're dealing with somebody here who is aching to make that point. But the Bernie bros and others are convincing themselves that they are so going to inspire turnout, that people are so much wanting a revolution. I think a lot of these people that are following Bernie are not wanting a revolution. They want something for nothing. Student loan debt, the Medicare for all thing. Yeah, some of them do want a revolution. Some of them are honestly, they hate the country. They want it to go that way. That's it. And Bernie over the weekend was involved in an interview where he was talking about there are many things where America's not great. Okay? We know about the warts of America, but we know about the greatness of America. So here's the question. And at the end of your question, you just hit me. Oh, okay. That we have that Bernie cut. Yeah, here's his answer. This is dangerous ground. And Democrats know it's dangerous ground. They know goofballs like Andrew Cuomo said that in front of a bunch of Girl Scouts and that we still remember it. People don't like this. Even if you harbor it, many of them do. that America's never really been that great. They're tired of exceptionalism and conservatives and all. You don't say this out loud. You deflect. You avoid it. Your job is to get elected and then get revenge against America, against the America that conservatives tout, to take that apart. That's what they want to do. Listen to Bernie, though. He's not really going there in this interview.
Talking to white middle-class Americans, white working-class Americans, promising to make America great again. Your stump speech, your critics say, sounds like nothing works in America, hasn't for generations. Is America great?
In many ways, we are. In some ways, very significant ways, we're not. We're not great when half of our people today are living paycheck to paycheck. When 500,000 people tonight are going to be sleeping out on the streets, including 30,000 veterans.
All right. And what is it? Are we trying to get to the root of this? Are we trying to do that in America? Of course we are. Are we trying to lift everybody up? Is the Trump economy trying to do that and succeeding in large measure? Of course it is. All right. 855-839-1210. So here's the question. Are we at a point where you're worried that there are enough people that either have antagonism toward America, some of this due to the indoctrination in schools, or want something like their student loan debt forgiven, that this would be razor thin, and that actually a socialist who's really a communist could be president of the United States? I always worry because it's the wanting to win in me. It's never over until the final whistle. Do we have that final vote? No. So I worry that way. But do I worry about Sanders? No, I don't. I don't worry about him in that regard. I think he's already made it very, very difficult. It's going to be messy the way this comes out. Democrats are not going to be united behind this guy. Yeah, they'll still hate Trump and all that. And what are these? You know who I'd like to have the conversation? I will try to in the future. The PhD moms, the ones that are so horrified by Trump, that are living out there in the suburbs doing pretty well. They're not horrified by this. They're not horrified by what Sanders would do or try to do. That doesn't worry them. That fundamentally, he would attack America at every turn, every day. They're not worried by that. They're more worried by Trump being uncouth. All right, 855-839-1210. I'd love to get you in. At the end of your call, just hit us with something that you hope doesn't change, not worth messing around with, that kind of thing. But that's a driving question in this election. I think a lot of you are like me. You want to have this challenge. You want to put it up there, Trump representing capitalism and Bernie representing communism, or at least socialism. You want to have this on. You don't want to go against the light and all that type of stuff. So on one hand, it is a monumental challenge. On the other hand, I think it's easier ultimately. For every advantage that I see that Sanders has over some of the others, I realize in certain key states, some of the stuff that he's on record, and he'll continue to be on record, there is no way that's going to work. Fracking in Pennsylvania, love of Castro in Venezuela, and all that stuff, socialism in Florida. You're not going to overcome those two hurdles. That leaves Michigan, where he could win. Yeah, I got to concede. I look at this realistically. He could win Michigan. It was razor thin the last time. But he's not going to win enough of these swing states. And wherever he's popular in whatever states that he is, it's not enough to overcome an all-out assault to make this clear. He sharpens the picture, in other words. You can't say we're making it up here. This guy's the real deal. I believe a communist, but at least a real, full, all-out socialist. Hey, good Monday, everyone. It is Dom time at 855-839-1210. You get in AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. So do you think, maybe you're a new caller, new listener, you never called before. What's your metric to determine? Are we at a point now where this could happen? Yeah, there's always, some possibility that Bernie Sanders could be elected. You got to face reality, okay. But that there's a realistic chance. In other words, so many people have been indoctrinated. It's so bad. We hear this all the time. And I think sometimes in talk radio, we go too far with making people believe that. We want people to be not scared as we move toward the election, at least I don't, versus not desperate. Desperate doesn't, but focus to realize this is a battle that we haven't seen before, at least in my memory, of an all-out socialist communist versus the America we know and love. Now, you could say, well, President Obama, yeah, but President Obama even was reined in a bit and didn't run on that. If you remember, he ran on hope and change, a foot in both camps and all that. There was a lot of stuff there maybe racially with Obama that was pretty dire. But with Bernie Sanders, we're talking about the fundamental, even much more so blatantly, that he's running on than President Obama. He doesn't want Obamacare. There's right Medicare for all. You take any proposal, that's where we are. I think that's a loser. I mean, if you talk to people and told them, you realize, right, that most of these Democrats, one way or another, not Klobuchar, but most of the others, not Biden even, the others, though, are going to take away your private insurance at some point. Bernie's going to do it instantly. Really? Yeah, you're making that up. No. That's what the bottom line is here. That's exactly what he's going to do. The student loan debt, I know some of you don't like when I say that, is a winner for Bernie Sanders. It is. I know you want to believe that. Think about it. How people have been indoctrinated. Think about how much damage these colleges and this cost have done. I wrote my article for this Thursday's Doylestown Intelligencer and Bucks County Courier Times, the biweekly one, right? About we've learned now that Governor Wolf wants to take the money that was put aside for the horse racing industry so that that be thriving. In other words, they put slot machines in. They said, all right, that's going to take away some gambling on horse racing. So we're going to set aside some so that horse racing continues to have an even playing field and survives. He wants to take all that money and give it to those who are undeserving. Can I use that word? Those that have $30,000, $40,000 in student loan debt, why should they get that money versus those that have a thriving industry that employs 50 to 100,000 people one way or another in Pennsylvania, horse racing, that people like? That's what he's up to doing. And he thinks that's a winner, that these people are going to salute him. He's actually said, I'm betting on the kids versus the horse racing people. You can't escape this. This is a winner politically, I believe. Obama didn't have to do it. He was going to say he was going to do it and legalize dope federally if he had to win. He didn't have to do it. He calculated that, didn't do it. Bernie Sanders is saying, that's right. I'm getting rid of student loan debt and in the future, free public college. So you won't have to worry about it if you go to some kind of public school. All right, let's go to Clarence in Philadelphia. Clarence, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Clarence.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, Clarence. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat all my life. My grandfather was a Democrat. And as I talk to members of the Democratic Party, especially in the black community, I'm a black man, and I don't hear people wanting things free. I just hear people wanting to be treated fairly. For example, the rich, the billionaires get rich off the poor. There's no rich person that didn't get rich off of poor people. The poor people make this country run.
Well, wait a minute, though. How did they get rich off them? Didn't they get rich in the main? Well, let's take Bloomberg. Bloomberg, Democrat, right, provided a service that people want that creates jobs, opportunity, and a better economy. That's how I became a billionaire.
No, I agree. I agree with that. But you take Microsoft. It's the poor people that keep the phone companies going. Not the billionaires. They're a very small percentage. But what I'm trying to say is, for example, the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes.
Now when in history have they been attacked? I mean, they have gone so far out, they got trillions of dollars, and they charge in the grandma. They prescribe 30 different pills for grandma and charge her $300 or $400 a bottle.
Well, wait a minute now. Now, Clarence, let's drill down. Right. Who is it that is trying to take that on and is one of the few Republicans ever to do that? Donald Trump. Are you aware of that?
I understand what you're saying, but there's nothing done. It's just a bunch of talk.
Well, right. I mean, he's on record, too, to say exactly what you're talking about. It's gone too far. So on that one, it's going to be hard to make the case against him. Give me your thing that you wouldn't want changed, Clarence. What would that be?
The pharmaceutical companies, the oil companies. Take like the oil companies, for example. America buy enough gas. If you put 25 cents on a gallon for health care, you would take care of America's health care.
Thank you very much. My God. Thank you. 25 cents more on a gallon. We're in the most taxed state in the country. All right. 855-839-1210. If you never called before, I'd love to hear from you. Here's the premise. Are you that worried about Bernie Sanders? I mean, existentially worried. You're thinking the indoctrination has happened. The moment is finally there that a socialist stands an even chance to be elected president. I don't think it's an even chance at all. It's 60-40 against him.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.